This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 413, recorded Wednesday, October 10th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
And see, folks, that's my contribution to the opening theme song. Dum-de-dum-dum-dum.
So we're here for another exciting week.
Whoa, was it a week?
Yeah, a lot of things happened. I do have a programming note or two.
Okie dokie. Programming note.
Yes. The evening of the 31st.
Ooh.
Is in the United States, they call that Halloween.
Halloween. Yes.
Yes. Are you occupied that night?
I am going to be occupied that night.
Good, because I am also occupied that night. Not with celebrating Halloween, but I have just... they asked me to change my vacation, and I didn't know what to do, so I randomly decided to take a trip. So I'm going to take a trip on the 31st, and I'm not going to be back till the following Tuesday. Hopefully I'll be awake the following evening, but I'm going to be... on a plane on the 31st, and my return flight is on the 6th.
Wow.
Why wow? I was gonna, they asked me to be at work the only week that I had planned on not being at work.
That's funny.
And they have this odd rule about you using your vacation or losing it. So I picked a place, and I'm going to go there.
Cool.
I should ask you. After the show, remind me if you've been all over, right? Not everywhere, but I'm saying you've been many places.
I've been about 24 countries.
Okay, maybe you have some advice for me. Again, okay. Remind me. Let's see, what else?
Although, honestly, when I was traveling the world, let's just say that you now and me then... very different people with very different interests and also very different morals.
I like to sightsee. I assume you didn't.
There were some things I like to look at.
Yes. Okay. I don't know. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you don't. Last person I asked who had been to that city told me Google it.
What city? Or do you want to talk about it afterwards?
No, I just thought it was slightly off topic. Berlin.
No, never been to Germany.
Okay. I have never been to Germany either.
My recommendation would be Singapore.
I think I've had enough of Asia for a little while.
Singapore's nice.
That's the only
place I have ever set a bar on fire.
Now I'm worried.
What?
Oh, that you've set a bar on fire.
Only one.
Okay. Maybe my next vacation should be Jacksonville. I'll come see you.
But, cool.
Oh, maybe. I'm bad at vacation.
I'm not bad at being on it.
I'm bad on planning vacations.
After Christmas.
Yep. We'll see. I don't know what my plans are for 2019. But anyway, so the week was big in a few ways. There was some home automation. I do have one other programming note from Ted. Ted sent you a letter. He said, you mentioned that you had identified a home power monitor that you liked for your new construction, but didn't mention the product name.
Yes.
So somebody wanted to know what the product name was.
It is Brultech, Brultech. They really only sell one thing, although they sell various parts of it. But it's the one monitor that they have.
The Green Eye Monitor Residential?
Yes.
Okay.
That is what I'm going to go with. I like the fact that it shows detailed stats, and it can monitor each branch. And even each leg of each branch, not each leg of each branch, but each side.
What's the pricing, like, give or take?
For a full house, you're looking at $600-$700 for a decent size house.
And basically, you need a water or gas meter that has a pulse output. You want to include that as well?
I think I'm going to have to. I don't know what my gas meter has on it.
Well, I'm certain my gas meter has been there since the 70s, so I'm certain it doesn't have anything useful on it. Who knows?
I haven't even seen my gas meter yet.
Yeah, but with a newer house, you probably have a little more flexibility on your gas meter. You might be able to get something that you could hook into.
I have zero choice on the matter.
I'd imagine. Who's it, FPL?
No. Our energy authority is JEA, Jacksonville Energy Authority. They do sewer, water, and gas, and electric.
Not familiar with them. But I'm not familiar with every single power company in the country. Why would I be? Well, let's see. I've been working on some home automation hardware. You remember last week with the Zigbee and the Z-Wave thing?
I do.
So I had some problems. I decided to replace a light switch with this Sonoff Wi-Fi light switch that I got. And that meant turning off the power, and suddenly my Z-Wave controlled fans will not respond to anything.
Goodness.
So apparently the lesson is, do not shut off your power or your Z-Wave will stop working.
Well, see, that's not really going to work, because sometimes the electricity just goes out.
Yeah, well, I've come up with a few decisions on that. So I decided that I would see the state of the software that I was working with.
Both. Yes.
So the Home Assistant Zigbee integration has actually fixed some of the bugs, so I can now move my Zigbee-controlled light bulbs over to the USB Zigbee controller I have, rather than having them going through the Wink. So I reprogrammed some of, but not all of my light bulbs, and now the delay response time is reduced.
That's because, nice.
Well, the annoying thing is, using a Wink, you send a command, it sends it to the Wink server, and then the Wink server sends it back to your house.
See, I find that to be unacceptable.
I don't like the delay, but it was meant to be a stopgap measure.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to gradually try to get everything so that everything is local control, which is what I've wanted from the beginning, but, you know, you do have to make compromises sometimes.
You know, and with that in mind, I've been looking at switches.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go with the Homeseer switches.
They look very nice.
Okay, so for the home audience, Homeseer, they're paddle type switches, and they have LEDs going up the side, and they're RGB LEDs, and there's, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And via the Homeseer software, those LEDs are remote controllable to display certain statuses, or, you know, imagine in your house, in your bedroom, you have a Homeseer light switch. You could have it so that if after 10 o'clock you turn the lights in your bedroom off and the garage door is open, then those LEDs on the side blink red, as an example of something you could do. And I think that's really cool and could be really useful. And I also like the fact that the paddle switches, the control is local. So if you tap it on or tap it off, it's instant because it happens right there. It sends a signal off saying, hey, I did something. But the interface between the switch and the relay is all in the box. And I really, really like that.
Well, I like the idea. And my problem is, you know, I'm on a different path than you are. I'm sort of on the, it's not a do-it-yourself path. That would suggest a lot more technique than I have. I'm on the sort of cobbled together mess of equipment path.
You're on a journey of discovery.
Okay.
That's how I would say it.
So sometimes I make mistakes, and I've but when I started trying to rewire a light switch using a Sonoff switch, there are two things that I remembered. One being why I stopped doing electrical work.
Why did you stop doing electrical work?
Well, two basic reasons. One, the person who wired this house was, let's just say, not the type of electrician I would have hired. I'll give you an example. The light switch that I was trying to change controls one thing. It controls a light that's outside of the rear door. So it's like a security light outside. So I wanted to put this three-button switch on there, one button controlling the light and the other two buttons triggering things remotely. So I discovered some interesting things. One, a single breaker controls half of my living room, my bathroom, and part of my bedroom.
Cool.
That's probably a bad idea.
Well, it depends on the load.
Yeah, but that seems odd, considering I have another breaker that controls what appears to be two outlets, neither of which have a heavy load. It seems like the distribution of how they set up the power makes absolutely no sense to me. But then we get to the other problem. The half of the living room, the outlets on that half of the living room are controlled by a wire that runs through this light switch that was connected to the light switch. So one pole of the light switch had two wires connected to it, and one apparently powers the outlets on the other side of the room.
So if you turn the switch off, the outlets go off?
No, the other side. So they connected it. Basically, they connected to the... if you think of it as one side of the switch had two wires, sure. One of them, and okay. The other side of the switch, which went to the light, to the load, actually was on the other side. So rather than putting in a nut in the back or not running it through basically one pole of my light switch, half of the room is basically powered that way, which is weird. You know, I'm not an electrician. But I miss my electrician who has since retired, thus meaning I don't have one anymore, who would have and frequently when he came to visit would ask, what idiot wired this? I wonder where he is now. Hopefully enjoying his retirement. But the thing is, it's just, I'm not going to have them rip out the wiring so that they install it in some way that makes sense, but... I've come to the conclusion because all the boxes are small. They have too many wires inside them. And therefore, you can't put in any of these advanced switches that take up more room without ripping out the box and replacing it. And that's okay. A little more work than I'm prepared to do. At least for the benefit that I'm getting. Unless I have some other job that somebody's here doing and I could sort of say, while you're doing that, could you do this? I can't imagine calling somebody just to replace some of this wiring until I have a need. So I have to get a little creative.
All right.
And, you know, I figure there are many people who are in rentals who don't want to be in a position of rewiring all this stuff.
Of course not. Of course.
I'm not in a rental exactly. But on the second thought, I'm not in a rental, but I'm not an owner. So I'm somewhere in the middle. So basically, I have the power to make holes in the wall.
Yay!
But they need approval from the owners. So that's why I'm saying not a traditional rental in that I have to put everything back. I'm encouraged to improve the place. I just can't start changing things without sign-off. But beyond that, I get to get creative. So I nearly, not only did I nearly cause a little sparking and some other problems, I also cut myself repeatedly. The other reason why I remembered I don't like working electrical. I always cut myself somewhere. But so I've come up with an idea for this three-button switch that is capable of sending signals over the internet, which is what I'm going to do is wire it into a service mount box with a plug and use it like a tabletop controller.
What is a service mount?
You've never seen these places where instead of putting the switch into the wall or putting the outlet into the wall, they put it into like a surface mount metal box?
Oh, okay. Surface.
Yeah, what did you think I said?
Service.
Oh, with no, no, surface.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's crazy. If I use a surface mount box and then mount it somewhere and then have it plugged in.
I don't know, dude.
Well, you know, I come from a crazy family in that regard. I remember that my father mounted a fan in the ceiling and then ran a wire to it and plugged it in.
You know, speaking of which, yeah. Speaking of fans, here's something that really bugs me. Okay, so the choices on fan controls are kind of limited, right? But they do exist. Home Sears got one. GE's got one. Okay. They will allow you to turn the fan on, turn it off, set the speed. But none of them will allow you to reverse the fan.
I've seen ones that allow you to reverse the fan.
The only one that I found that would allow you to reverse the fan is the Bond remote control, and all it is an IFIR repeater hooked up to the internet. So you have to have a fan that has a remote control on it, and then you teach the Bond what the controls are. One of those controls can be reverse, and then you're able to issue that command remotely. But in wall switches, I can't find any that do reverse.
So I also have a fan story for you.
Okay.
So I mentioned I have two fans that are controlled by a Z-Wave controller, which both of which went offline when I turned the power off, and I haven't been able to get them back online, but I haven't tried that aggressively, and I really don't want to spend that much time fiddling with my fans every time the power goes out.
Okay.
So I went back to the company that's been fairly good to me, ITED, which makes the Sonoff line of products. And guess what they just released?
A new type of pizza?
A fan controller. So you can convert a non-smart LED ceiling fan to a Wi-Fi smart ceiling fan with light.
Wow, that's cheap. Oh, $15 too.
Well, there's about $9 in shipping. So I ordered two of these and I'm going to try them. And I don't feel so bad if I lose $15.
And notice it does not support reverse.
Yeah. By the way, the one that I have, I think, does. The Z-Wave control, I think, does, but that's what's annoying me right now.
Well, apparently, the research that I put into this is because turning the fan on or off is fairly simple. You provide juice or you cut juice. And changing the speed is fairly consistent as well. You vary the amount of voltage that you send it. However, reverse is handled different ways by different fans. Some fans have a separate line that you provide a little bit of voltage to, or a little bit of current, I believe is actually it, and that causes it to switch windings. Others, it is a certain variance in the voltage that you send it that will cause it to switch windings. So because there is no universal method of causing a fan to reverse, the remote controls just don't do it. Or not remote controls, but smart switches. Seems kind of lame to me.
Well, for now, all I can do is say that if these things arrive, I'm going to try installing them in one of my fans and see what happens. Also, because I always have to flash firmware on these things, I'm hoping that it allows over-the-air flashing, because otherwise I have to go and remember how to flash something using a USB serial controller, which not fun. I'm trying to do as little as possible, at least when it comes to wiring.
I understand.
But we'll see what happens. I figure not that much money to waste.
The Sonoff controls are really cheap, $15 a piece. That's not bad.
Yeah, and again, I've noticed that the third-party firmware that I like to swap in actually will work with it, but I don't know if the OTA version can be flashed. If the OTA version can't be flashed, then I have to go and flash it by using a programmer. And I've avoided that so far by trying to pick items that can be flashed over the air. But they have a nice line of products, and you hear me mention it all the time. They have one that has a jack for an external temperature sensor. They have dual units. Now, all these things have to be wired up by you basically putting wiring in your electricity, but it's a little different than trying to... My problem is trying to squeeze everything into a box in the wall.
Right.
So I can handle trying to wire up a switch. Although I've cut myself there too. But they have, let's see, I just pulled up their page. They have a dual unit. They have the basic unit, which you can get for like $5, which basically you could wire it into a lamp and turn your lamp on and off. They have one with a radio controlled remote. They have one that does power monitoring. They have one that apparently does something with cellular, but I was a little confused about that. They have basically a 4-channel one. They have light switches, which I said I bought. They have plug-in smart plugs. They have one that screws into a standard light bulb. So basically you screw it into the socket and screw your light bulb into the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a good collection, and most of them, again, are flashable. Oh, this is new. They have a fan, like a smart pedestal fan.
Cool.
They have a home environmental monitoring one with like a dust sensor. Let's see, a low voltage smart switch. So they do have some do-it-yourself developer modules. So this is promising. A Sonoff SV safe voltage Wi-Fi wireless switch for secondary development. So unlike the other ones, which have a case, this one is just a board. So you can turn devices on and off, but it's basically 5 to 24 volts low voltage input. So you can use it to control any low voltage appliance.
What kind of low voltage appliances are you thinking?
Well, one, it doesn't have a case, which is sort of a problem. I don't like having exposed boards unless I can find something to do with them. But according to this, I just love, you know, when companies do their copy and English is clearly not their first language. Easy upgradation. Anyway, let's see. There are people who like to restart their routers periodically. What if you hooked one of these boards up to your router to restart it? The only problem being that your router is what provides your Wi-Fi, therefore how would you trigger it?
Yep.
But no, there are things you can do with, and again, when I'm saying low voltage, this is 5 to 24 volts.
Right, but a router is not 5 to 24 volts. I mean...
Have you seen the power supplies on routers are between 5 and 24 volts?
Right, but you would have to put something in between the power supply and the router.
Yeah, this thing.
Yeah, it seems just might be easier to put a smart plug on that.
Yeah, I'm just using it as an example. I'm not saying I'm doing it.
I was thinking maybe something more along the lines of shutters.
Which is doable also. Those shutters, I still want home automation controlled curtains. I want to be to figure out how to get my curtains to open and close.
Sure, curtains, shutters.
Well, I have curtains. I have curtains mostly because during the winter, I have a lot of cold, so I basically use the curtains to try to insulate.
Right.
So that's why I found that blinds let in too much cold air during the winter.
I've never thought of that.
But again, they have some nice stuff, and I've been working on fixing a lot of my problems, but my biggest problem is still I don't have any buttons. I still can't figure out how to do buttons.
Buttons.
I want to be able to press something and have my lights turn on. And when they're all remotely controlled lights, I need like a control panel. And I have not solved the control panel problem. I have not found the right thing for it.
All right.
And that's been one of my biggest annoyances.
I'll buy that.
So if anybody has any thoughts on that, I would love to hear it. Do you have any suggestions?
I don't.
Okay. So that's the home automation discussion for the day. Let's talk about Android for a bit.
Android? Do we talk about Android here?
Yeah, once in a while. So there was a product announcement yesterday. There are a bunch of new googly devices.
Ooh.
There's a new Chromecast. But you have an Ultra, so I don't think they released a new Ultra. They basically, the new Chromecast is just mostly improved Wi-Fi and a new case.
Yep. But for some reason, some stores started selling them early.
Apparently, the stores had them in stock, and apparently they accidentally sold one early.
That's funny.
Google Home apparently is increasing its focus on the smart home, so their app is actually focusing in that direction. And
I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Well, not only that, they introduced the Google Home Hub, and apparently there's sort of like a smart home dashboard.
Yep.
So maybe that's a solution to my problem, except I tried to build one out of a Raspberry Pi and one of their Raspberry Pi touchscreens, but the touchscreen I got seems to not be working, so I have to go exchange it. Less expensive, more customizable. But the Home Hub is based, unlike the existing Home Assistant smart displays like the Lenovo, it does not have a camera.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah,
right? Because you're going to put this thing on your nightstand.
Well, I have a solution to that I just bought this week. I bought a
piece of electrical tape?
No, I bought a 12-pack. Well, similar. I bought a 12-pack of webcam covers to put on my devices. So it's basically just an adhesive sliding cover that you can slide off. I found that electrical tape doesn't really blend into the view.
Really?
Well,
I thought it did.
Well, this, you know, these are black. They sort of blend into the plastic. They're not really noticeable.
Oh. Okay.
I got 12 for $10. It's not like I spent a lot of money getting webcam covers. And then I started putting them on every single device. Let's see. Live albums, which is basically what it sounds like. What do you think of the live albums idea?
I think it's great. If you're going to have a screen on all the time, then why not?
Well, the idea is that the album is theme-based, and then their intelligence figures out what belongs in it. But you add that to the Google Home Hub is basically the latest version of a digital photo frame. Remember those things you used to put pictures in? So when you're not using it actively, that's what's going to happen.
Which is a great idea.
I think so. Are you tempted to get a smart display?
I'm tempted to get the Slate.
Really?
Well, here's the thing.
Tell me about the Slate.
It's... You know, you kind of need to make it for a cohesive home automation home. You kind of need to make a choice. Do you go Google or do you go Amazon?
Oh, I go everyone.
You do that. But I want a fairly cohesive experience throughout my house. And the thing is, With Google Home, I can talk to it in English. My wife can talk to it in Spanish, and it's fine. And Alexa, still...
We don't use that word, remember?
Yeah, as mine just popped up. She still does not understand Spanish very well. So I'm leaning very strongly towards the Google. And the Slate is a... I like the idea of waking up saying, George, good morning. And then I see what's going on for the day.
Well, that's actually my next project. Because I'm having so much trouble with buttons, I'm going to try to get the Home Assistant, Google and Amazon integration working.
Mm-hmm.
So I can try to trigger everything with voices, and that should help with my problem at not finding control surfaces.
Yep.
And we'll see. I tried tablets at one point, but that didn't quite work for me. Anyway, I'm back onto that subject that's bothering me. I probably should stay off of it.
We just can't stay off of home automation today. What's up with that?
We're excited about it.
I think it looks really great.
So I don't know if I'm going to buy anything. You know, notice I didn't mention here, I mentioned sort of the home stuff, but I didn't really mention the fact that there's a new Pixel. Show notes, because we've always sort of stayed away from it, but you're happy with your Pixel, so I assume you're not buying a new one.
I don't know if I'm going to go with the Pixel 3. First impressions of the Pixel 3 are not that great. I don't know if the specific problems with the impressions that I have read is that the back of the phone scratches incredibly easily.
That's what cases are for.
I don't know if that affects me because my phones go in a case.
So do mine.
But my Pixel 2 is snappy, takes great pictures, still has tons of storage. It doesn't feel like it's getting long in the tooth. So I don't know if I'll get a Pixel 3. I'll probably end up getting a Pixel 4.
Well, I may wait, but I also have that other thing that I occasionally do.
Where you get a new phone and pass on your old one?
No, I may go the other way. Look for somebody who's trying to get rid of their Pixel 2.
Anyway. So you're saying that if I was to get a Pixel 3, you might want to grab my Pixel 2?
Well, I assume you'd give me the friends and family discount. I'm saying...
Let's call that a discussion for the future.
Yeah, but no, what I'm saying is that if it were a good price, yes, I would. I would trust you take good care of your phones, therefore it would be in good condition.
It is.
Yeah, so if I decide that I want to do it, then I would certainly ask you to keep me in mind. If it doesn't work out, then you should certainly find something that works for you. But anyway.
I think right now,
I'm just saying I wouldn't ask you to sacrifice any sort of financial return on your part in order just because we are friendly.
Huh.
I don't want you to think I'd take advantage.
No, we're good.
Let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes, Google Prompt now adds two-factor support for all the phones you've signed in on, not just your primary. So right now, when you do the two-factor where it sends, do you want to log in, yes, no, to your phone? Yes. It only does it on one phone. There's now a setting for it to do it on all of your phones.
Huh. Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I guess it's all right.
The choice. Google updated the Play Store policy to prevent improper uses for phone and text permissions. So this affects things on a policy level. It means that if you do any of these things that they don't want you to do, they will basically remove your app. So what they have is they're legitimate uses of the phone and text permissions, but there are illegitimate ones. So, for example, their examples for ones that they would give it would be backup of SMS, which is a legitimate reason for you to have that permission.
Sure.
Caller ID, et cetera, but not necessarily some of these more malicious things where the app would basically work just fine without it. So it's nice to show that they're sort of saying, if you don't really need this for an actual function, we're not going to give it to you. We won't let you wrap it at all.
Okay.
The Amazon Echo app, referred to by its code name of Alexa, has, I'm trying to be polite and not set it off, has gotten a device-focused redesign. So here's another home automation story. Basically, Amazon has realized that people really like using their voice assistant to control devices. So they've basically changed their app to make it much more device-centric.
Cool.
It's the fact that both Google and Amazon have done this that have prompted me to finally work on that integration. Google News has added dark mode.
I appreciate dark mode.
And much to my annoyance, the TicWatch E got the new version of Wear OS.
It did. So did the Pro.
Yeah, but they've replaced Google Fit with their own Tic Health service, and they won't let you change it.
Well, that's true.
I like choice, so I don't like it when a company says, we're going to make it so that you have to use this and you can't use anything else.
And apparently they are floored. They're taken aback. They're surprised at the amount of backlash that they're getting. And they have promised to fix it and an update in the coming months.
Why does it take months?
I'm
just saying, practically speaking. It's a setting. The development and testing on that should be days.
I don't think so, but it's, I don't know. Here's what I do. I have set up the Tic Health to sync with Google Fit. And so everything I do goes into Fit.
Okay. Google Chrome for Android is dropping support for Jelly Bean. That's 4.1 through 4.3 of Android.
You know, I was kind of upset about this until I realized, man, Jelly Bean is like 8 versions old.
Well, again, it means that it doesn't mean you won't be able to get a version of Chrome. It means that they won't be supporting it in new versions. You'll just stay where you are. They won't force you to uninstall it. And there are third-party browsers. But how long, you know, how many versions back can you actually?
Yeah, I know.
Also, I'm not sure if you looked up. When was Jelly Bean released? Jelly Bean, the last release was October 7th, 2013, 4 years ago.
That would be 6 years ago. All right, I'm sorry, 5 years ago.
It says 4 here on Wikipedia. Clearly, they're not doing their math. I agree with you, but it does say 4 years ago when you Google it, oddly enough. Apparently, even Google can't do the math.
I'm sure that when that wiki page was edited, it was 4 years ago.
Either way, the initial release date of the oldest version of Jelly Bean was 2012.
It's old. Well, so supporting, I wasn't something originally for 6 upset years. About this, but now I'm just, okay, cool.
6 years is not bad for supporting an older version of something.
I would agree.
Tasker 5.5 has added basically a network for sharing and adding pre-made projects.
This is cool.
Well, it's basically, you don't have to create your own configuration for Tasker. You can go and share your configurations and pick up other people's.
And it just looks like it's getting easier to use.
Well, it's sort of the IFTTT model. You know, you can code your own automations, or you can take other people's ones that they've contributed.
I like it. I think I'm going to have to reinstall Tasker and start playing with it again.
Maybe I should too. If you want to read email on your watch, there is now a standalone fork of K9 Mail, which is a longstanding open Android mail client built for Wear OS watches.
Yeah.
By the way, I still really like the new Wear OS. I think they did a lot of good things.
I agree.
The notifications are
a lot better.
Well, I'm talking about the notifications are much better.
Okay.
And I use my, unlike you, since you have a little more flexibility in your day. I use my watch to keep up on what's going on in my personal notifications while I'm supposed to be focusing on my work. I'm saying it that way for some effect because sometimes I don't look very often, and even with a notification-based watch, I focused on my work, which I assume that my employer expects being as they're paying me. But it's nice to know if there's an emergency, I can sort of glance down and see what's going on.
Yep. The I do wish that, okay, so right now my watch buzzes, vibrates twice every hour.
Okay.
And it vibrates once for notifications. I wish I could swap those. I wish it would vibrate twice for notifications and once for the hour.
Is that something that's configurable? I don't even know.
I don't know. I have not been able to find it. I don't even know where I set it to turn on the vibrate once an hour.
I'm sure it's there somewhere. I'd have to look, but I put my watch in the other room. And let's see what else we have. Oh, yes. Google Plus is shutting down for consumers.
What? This doesn't even make sense to me. What do they mean it's shutting down for consumers?
They're still going to have an enterprise product.
But. Okay.
Yeah. So here's what I want to do. We still have a year before that happens. It's supposed to happen sometime next year. But I do want to thank our intrepid community. As you may recall, we do have a Google Plus page. And it is being maintained. It does have 408 followers. And it is being maintained by an intrepid member of the community who does post the episode every week. The reason I know that is it's up to date and I'm not doing it. I think if it isn't automated, I'd forget tasks like that every week.
For sure.
So it is something that we have. And I want to thank that intrepid member of the community. Thank you, intrepid member of the community.
Yes. Thank you, intrepid member of the, yes.
If you join another community, tell us. We can always put up a page there for you to maintain for us. I'm sorry, we have time. But anyway. The Wi-Fi Alliance has introduced Wi-Fi 6. Apparently, we're getting tired of letters, so we're moving to numbers.
Wow.
Well, admittedly, I sort of appreciate that because... what did we started out with B, then we went to G, then we went to N, then we went to AC. At least numbers are a little more linear.
And they have a little bit more space for the future.
Well, if you have a, it could have been that, well, that they just go to two letters and then three letters and then four letters, but.
Like an Excel spreadsheet.
Why not? Then you get to the Greek letters. That's what they do when they run out of space for hurricanes.
What?
If they have more than 26 hurricanes in a season.
All right. So.
So we've done a lot in this episode.
This has been an episode.
So hopefully I will be back next week with new home automation thoughts. I think tomorrow I may stop at the store and pick up a box and see if I can do that other project. So wish me luck.
Good luck.
And we'll talk about it next week.
All right. So goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.